initially the research that I did, which is a sort of development of the work I did for my doctorate, was on ideas of popular culture. And actually that's stayed an interest. I suppose that set of questions allowed me to think about culture historically, because it was about changes in the ways that the idea of the people or the people's culture, how did that connect to other kind of cultural forms, how was it valued, did people typically make certain kinds of assumptions about culture if it wasn't thought to be literary or if it wasn't thought to be elite. And yeah. And so it an interest in the history of culture, in the way that cultural objects are used to develop other kinds of thinking, ways in which people identify themselves in relation to cultural texts, images, or other kinds of documents, did continue to interest me. So I think that was the first set of questions, and it resulted in a book which made an argument about that, which I think has been quite a persuasive argument for people working in a range of disciplines, actually. I'm always quite interested to see people referring to that book, and, you know, historians use it, and literary people use it, and people in cultural studies do as well. I then wrote a book on Hélène Cixous, and that was, what did that come out of? I think that came out of the fact that while I was at Cambridge, I was doing some teaching, as well as being a student, and I was specifically involved in one of the papers in the Tripos, which was called The Literary Representation of Women. So, you know, there was just that kind of sense of, there's this really interesting writer here that somehow we're talking about as if she had only written one or two essays. So it just intrigued me. And Routledge were interested in a book, and I said I'd do it. And I did it quite quickly, actually, because it was it was a much more contained project. I spent a certain amount of time in Paris really sort of trying to understand more about the history of feminism in the period, because obviously Cixous' statements about, you know, where her work sat in relation to feminism seemed to sort of ruffle lots of feathers when she would say, well, I'm not a feminist, or I thought, I need to understand, you know, what it was like to be a woman academic, which is what she also was, of course. She's an English academic. I mean, she teaches English literature. That's what she was trained to do. And I thought, well, what's it been like for her? What were the kind of opportunities she had as a female academic? What were the kind of affiliations she was making or not making? And there was, you know, there was a whole sort of very interesting cultural moment round a certain publishing house called Des Femmes, with whom she published for quite a long time. And it was an interesting history to tell. So there was that kind of bit of work on that period. So that was interesting and just sort of a useful project, I think. And then there are other things that I did. I edited the A Room of One's Own in Three Guineas, which was great fun. I'd never done editing before. And the major thing I did actually when editing that was actually went and constituted a bibliography of all the things she must have read to do it, and went back to the notebooks and so on. And I think that's proved to be a useful research tool as well. I edited a volume on feminism and cultural studies, which is, I suppose, my sort of polemic about cultural studies, which was that it had to be critical and historical as a discipline, and that if cultural studies reduced itself to simply writing about the contemporary, it was probably not going to be able to generate particularly profound insights or knowledge. So when I put the collection together, I put a big emphasis on people who'd worked on a range of different cultures, so some of it was literary, and also on historical periods. So I also had quite a strong presence of people writing about, you know, culture in different periods.
Yeah.
And then the next sort of big project after that was the one on labour. And it was a sort of sense, I suppose, that although at a certain period that there was a lot of writing about work and about the labour movement and so on, it kind of had become an activity that we weren't talking about very much. And you know, a lot of emphasis on pleasure and you know, we seem to have moved into much more kind of consumption rather than production. And that's certainly true in cultural studies, where people, you know, were very much interested about the creative reader and the act of consumption. And but the kind of activity of making things seemed to me to slightly have dropped out of the critical debate. And I also thought increasingly that there were things to be said about that in terms of women's history. You know, that what work meant or enabled for women in the early years of the 20th century was different, and notions like alienation might not always describe what it was that they were experiencing. So that's why it became a book about work and the sense of self, because it was that kind of conversation about, you know, how, and I think I remember being slightly intrigued by this habit that academics have of talking about research as my work. So if you're an academic, you work and then you have my work. Mm. And typically, work is teaching administration and my work is research. And that interested me because it was, you know, what is it that makes it mine? Why do people feel that some elements of what they do define them and others don't? And what's the sense of ownership? So all of those questions, which are actually quite, you know, questions for the contemporary, were hovering as I went back to look at how work was imagined. And because women were entering new kinds of fields of employment, because, you know, there's a story that's often told about that as a sort of, you know, progressive liberating moment. But, you know, is that how it was experienced? What was the kind of complexity of that entry to labour for women in that period?